Next thing on the agenda, approval of minutes. We had the minutes of August 29th. Any corrections, additions? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence.
Mr. President, I can't wait to see the minutes for this next week, for today.
Rob is typing away. Mr. Moore, correspondence.
There is none, Mr. President.
Any correspondence from council? Correspondence from council. Public comments, Mr. Guy? Paul Rigger.
You got here at 9:30, sign up.
Good morning, Paul Rigger, 18171 Deer Forest Road, Georgetown. Last night at the Board of Adjustment meeting, they brought up a determination approval from Ms. Cromwell that they questioned something that was done prior for a modular home in a mobile home park. And they ruled, the Board of Adjustments last night ruled in her favor against the applicant 5-0 that she's correct in reading the code. But during the original hearing, there was two or three other people that had put modulars, I assume, from the conversation. I could be wrong. It was up on them and got them approved from the prior director or however it went through Board of Adjustment. One is, with the Board of Adjustment, is it set up as precedent? Whether somebody in that development gets a special use or a variance, are we going to carry it straight through from then on? Or is it strictly by the code going through? And what else, after so many years of the code be done prior, and with the new director coming in, are we going to now find out that things are done a little differently? But I have to say, you read the code. The Board of Adjustments did the correct decision. The code specifically spells it out. But also, too, is how long has that code been out there prior? Was it ever really read by the attorneys, by everybody on the board going through to allow that? It shouldn't have been set up where something comes up this long and says, no, we allowed the first three to go, and now you can't do it. The second thing is, and I wish that they did not leave, was the Board of Adjustment members here. I had a while ago during the one meeting when they had the public comment on there. The agenda last night of their public comment was done correctly. They followed the FOIA opinion. It was done excellent. They followed that. But with the Board of Adjustments a while ago, we were brought up about the rules of procedure. They were supposed to put them on and discuss it. It's never come back since that point. It's been a bunch of months. With Mr. Cole appointing District 4 new appointee to the board, it may be time to have them come in and go over the rules of procedure, go through it and figure out exactly what the five qualifications and definitions are for the approval, for the variance, and the special use. It should be just based on the law and the codes and the way it's interpreted. It should not be based on anything else but that. It's just something that, with Mr. Rickert leaving, I mean, I've had the pleasure of going to a couple of them and speaking up on different cases that have pertained to the things that I'm concerned about. He was one of the few that actually, when I asked a question, interpreted the one chapter 115 to the way it should have been enforced and done. I've heard that over the situation with the fence issue. But we got to make sure that one thing is done for one person, follows through for the next, that if it's however it can be done. But I would seriously look at the Board of Adjustment, if you have any way of enforcing that, coming through a rule of procedure and setting that up, because you read the paper. Another Board of as you go through the Board of Adjustment hearings, court overturns the rulings and everything else like that going through. It should be looked at. Thank you.
Dan Kramer.
My name is Dan Kramer. On the agenda, you have, under Janelle Cornell, Director of Planning and Zoning, a discussion and possible introduction of proposed ordinance entitled for a comprehensive land use plan. I don't think so. For introduction, I don't think so. First of all, planning and zoning still has two more meetings, one tomorrow, and I think the next one next week, before they even get close to having an ordinance in any written form whatsoever. And let's look at what the law says. The law says every proposed ordinance shall be introduced in writing and in the form required for final adoption. Can't just say, well, we're going to act like the Democrats did with Obamacare. We're going to introduce it and then we'll figure out what it's all about afterwards, like baloney you are. First of all, you're supposed to introduce this thing and then you're supposed to have copies. Well, this ordinance is going to be a couple hundred pages. And I guarantee you, when you introduce it at any given time, you better have a copy available for me to have in hand. And I don't think she's got a copy or anybody else got a copy. So how can you introduce something that doesn't exist? So therefore, you got to have the copies. And then, after a public hearing, the county government may adopt the ordinance, excuse me, with or without amendments or reject it. Fair and simple. So I would highly suggest you follow the law and don't introduce it till the thing is for real. Thank you.
Dan Acker.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak here today. My name is Dan Acker. My wife and I have been members of the Ellendale Community Civic Improvement Association for several years. We believe community water in Ellendale will not only be good for everyone's health, but also be much more attractive to business. I've seen many changes and improvements in our county over the past 25 years, but some areas in Sussex have not grown. As a former business owner, I see the potential for Ellendale to become the thriving community it once was, but I would hesitate to invest in an area without public services. Also, I live in a neighborhood that was offered community water 15 years ago and voted against it. Today, most residents regret that decision, but it's too late. Like many wells in Ellendale, we deal with very high iron content in our water, and even with our water softener on its highest settings, we're on the edge of clothing, sinks, and showers turning orange. We use bottled water for drinking. I would like to see the people of Ellendale have clean water. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Dolores Price.
Good morning. My name is Dolores Price. I am the president of the Ellendale Civic Association, Improvement Association. I am here today in support of the voting for the boundaries for the proposed Ellendale Water District. I hope that when you make your decision, that you will take into consideration the health of the people who are living there, and that you will take in consideration the growth of the future generation to come. The town of Ellendale and the Ellendale area cannot grow without water. We will never grow if we do not have water. And since we don't have water, we cannot draw businesses. And I would like to see the town grow instead of going backwards. It has gone backwards in the years that I have been there, ever since 1953. I would like to see it progress. I would like to see good, pure water come to the area. I live in town area. I know what my water quality has been since 1959. It has gone down. Instead of increasing, it goes down. And I have my water tested. One of the things, and two of the things that the Ellendale Civic Association has done, is we try to educate the people in the area about the water and about their water. We have had several meetings, not only with your administrator, but we had Southeast RCAP to come in and do a well assessment. And they went around and did some well assessment for some of the people. We also had free water testing. And in doing the free well testing, it was almost unbearable to go in some of those places and actually be in the places. We found places that had E. coli. And as you know, the church that I attend, Mount Zion AME Church, is also being constantly, the whole area around that area is being tested quite often because of the contamination that came from the old junkyard. So I'm asking that you will consider the boundaries of the Ellendale New Market Sewer District, except for New Market. I understand New Market has their water, so I'm asking you to please consider it as a positive thing for the people, for the future generation. I want to see our children grow and have the mindset that they need for education instead of having breakouts, skin breakouts, and hair falling out and other things falling out because of contamination. Thank you.
Thank you.
My turn, fellow.
Roland Moore, Jr.
Mike's hair, Philly.
Thank you, Council.
Thanks for coming.
Congratulations. The following request for a border district is an unfair assumption, misleading by the number of petitioners. The facts are of the 64 petitioners, they represent only 43 residences, two churches, a vacant parcel, and one P.O. box that we don't know what the 911 address is. Of those petitions, only 9 are not connected to the Old State Road, either north or south. As far as the North Old State Road, water is in front of all the town residences that signed the petition. The rest of the North Old State Road could file a petition with Artesian to run lines from Ingram Village north. As far as South Old State Road, the county has already said that 2 tracts are already committed to a water supplier. As the map shown, those on South Old State should be petitioning these water service providers for hookups. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. DJ Hughes. DJ Hughes.
Here he comes. Here he comes. Here he comes.
Good morning. DJ Hughes, 16566 Sweetwater Drive. I saw that Henlopen TID was on the agenda for today for expanding the scope, and that concerned me because I've spoke previously about it, and I'm still concerned about the existing conditions, the data collection, and the analysis that was presented by Secretary Cohen back in February. Basically, I've reviewed it, and Sussex County deserves a lot better. It's not representative of existing conditions whatsoever for signalized intersections on Route 1, 24, Kings Highway. Doesn't meet nationally accepted standards, doesn't meet the highway capacity manual requirements for oversaturated conditions, does not meet development coordination, DLDOT's own development coordination manual requirements, and it's not consistent with previously reported conditions along Route 1, Route 24, and Kings Highway. For example, and nobody has to be a traffic engineer to understand this stuff, Route 1 on a summer Saturday, DLDOT is reporting the average delay on a summer Saturday is less than 25 seconds at West Coach Road. At Postal Lane, it's less than 55 seconds. And the queues they are listing at these intersections are in hundreds of feet, which is basically 100 feet would be 4 cars. So they're saying some of these intersections as little as 12 cars queued in a lane from, say, 24. Meanwhile, we all know that it goes over top of the Nassau Bridge and sometimes beyond Cave Neck Road. So same at Tanger Outlets, Route 24, Old Landing Road, Munchie Branch Road. These are all reported with acceptable level of service, less than 25, 35, or 55-second delay. Route 1 at Dartmouth is reported with a little more delay, but again, nothing. They're reporting it less than 80 seconds. DLDOT tweets on summer Saturday, delays in minutes, usually 15, 20, 30 minutes, yet the results they presented to you for the Henlopen TID are saying less than a minute. So obviously that's not correct, and engineers are held to a higher standard, and that's Sussex County deserves better than that. The Route 24 intersections, Camp Arrowhead Road, they're reporting as level service C. Plantation in Warrington, they reported with less than 80 seconds. I also, I'm speaking as a resident today, but I'm also a professional traffic engineer, and I do traffic impact studies in eastern Sussex, as a lot of you guys know. And we had to go out there on behalf of a private client for 2 weekends to recollect the data that DLDOT collected. Both Saturdays from 24 from Plantation Road, the queue went back to Camp Arrowhead Road one Saturday and almost to it another, and it was over to Love Creek Bridge in each case. I know from Robinsonville Road there was a queue that was very long too. Plantation Road backed up all the way through R2 to the new Cedar Grove Road intersection. DLDOT did improve that intersection. It works fine now, except for the fact that sometimes people can't make the turns from Cedar Grove Road or Postal Lane because Plantation's backed up. And while DLDOT does have a project at 24 Plantation, I think the dual lanes on Plantation are only 200 feet long. So you got a queue that's, I forget what the distance is, but it's in the thousands of feet, and they're adding them basically a 200-foot addition. That's not going to do much of anything. Same thing on 24. The lane was, in 2001, there was a study that identified need for dual lanes from Love Creek all the way to Route 1. The county CTP request to DLDOT has been consistent that that's still a need. For some reason, DLDOT backed it down to single lanes, so the dual lanes only comes just shy of Mulberry Knoll Road. So the day that project opens, I don't know how many millions of dollars they're going to spend, but it's going to fail the day it opens. So again, Sussex County deserves better. Beacon Middle School, I think anybody that's driven on 24 in the morning knows how bad that intersection is. You got a new school across the street. They staggered the start times by an hour. I haven't been down there to see how it's working, but they reported Beacon Middle School during the morning peak hours level service A. It means the average delay is less than 10 seconds. That queue's, I think, a mile or more. So that's obviously not correct, not representative of existing conditions. And it kind of shows you why we don't have a lot of the improvements that we need to have in Sussex County. If these are what the people making decision on funding are being told, if they think an intersection is level service A, obviously they're not going to approve that in dual lanes to fix it. But the reality is it's not A, and whether it's every morning during the commuter peak hour or the summer Saturday, which as we know is vital to the economy in Sussex County, you've got failing conditions on 24. The DLDOT CTP that's going to be at the hearing next week, there's nothing in there to address it whatsoever. If you go over to Kings Highway, Gills Neck Road, the developers spent a lot of money. I think it was over $1 million in doing improvements to that intersection. It's still failing because DLDOT in 2007 did a planning study where it's always been planned to have dual lanes on Kings Highway. 2008, DLDOT recommended that DLDOT nominate that to the CTP, coordinate with Sussex County, DRBA, the City of Lewis. DLDOT's never done that, so I worked on my own to make sure that they added that to the CTP. I suppose I should thank them for putting it in the draft this year. Problem is while it's a six-year CTP, only the first 4 years are federally funded. So the last 2 years are kind of like long-range planning or maybe a wish list. So they put no funding in the first 4 years for Kings Highway. Years 5 and 6, they just put PE, which is planning and estimates. So there's no money for right-of-way acquisition. There's no money for construction. Yet the developers have done everything they were supposed to there, and DLDOT hasn't done anything it was supposed to there. They required right-of-way from the developers. They dedicated that to DLDOT for the purpose of dual lanes, and DLDOT's just not following through. They also don't even have to use the regular funding to do that because it's consistent with a byways recommendation coming from the Lewis Byway Scenic, and I guess it's called Lewis Scenic Byways now. They're recommending dual lanes as well. Byways get their own separate pool of money, I believe, and so that can come from the byways funding, which won't come out of the regular transportation funding. I think the byways is actually calling for the dual lanes to stop short of where the Freeman Highway split is, but it really needs to come back to that intersection because while DLDOT's reporting C in AM and PM and D on a Saturday, we've got level service F out there in all three peak hours. In the morning, it backs up as far as Route 1 going into Lewis. In the afternoon, it backs up to the area about Surf Shanty some days, and some days it blocks the left from where you want to go into Lewis instead of continuing on Freeman. That intersection, they also didn't report correctly, Freeman Highway, where it comes out, or the left to go into Lewis, when it's blocked, you can't even make that left, and they're reporting it as acceptable level service. Same thing with Savannah Road. Signals are reporting less than 25-second delays. West Coates during the summer, Saturday and weekday, AM and PM, just not representative of existing conditions. And Commissioner Ross, I've heard him say before, and I agree with him, that DLDOT has studied these roads in this area enough where they ought to have a PhD now. And they've done, dating back into the, I think it was even the 1990s, SR1 grid study, SR1 land use and transportation study was around, I think, 2000, 24, Route 24 planning study, 2001, and there have been numerous studies. We should know what we need by now, and we should be funding it for construction so we can see, once we implement those improvements, you know, what can happen next. Route 1, probably is not a whole lot you can do about Route 1 just because it is what it is. But if the county's going to even consider moving forward with a TID, I suggest that you get DLDOT to commit true funding to some of these projects. Putting funding for year 5 and 6 does nothing. It's not approved in the federal portion. So it's got to be in the first 4 years if it's going to be in the CTP. And just because some gets added to the CTP, most of the time it's still 6 to 10 years out from being constructed. So just putting it in there is just a small, it's an important step, but it's just a small first step. You got to go ahead and finish the thought and actually fund and construct it. We've been talking about improvements for decades around here. We know that are needed. Time to build them. And I think that basically wraps up what I had to say. But again, main point is Sussex County deserves better. And, you know, if you were going to move forward with this, you really need to redo all the data collection for those intersections so you can actually have a true baseline for what your existing conditions are, or anything you try to study in the future is going to be wrong and basically going to be a waste of everybody's time and money.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. We're now on the consent agenda. We have 7 items. Wastewater Agreement Number 476-2, Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Windmill Woods Phase 2, the Millville Expansion of Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District. Wastewater Agreement Number 476-3, Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Windmill Woods Phase 1, Millville Expansion of Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District. Wastewater Agreement Number 985, Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Coastal Station, a.k.a. Corrado, West Rehoboth Expansion, the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District. Wastewater Agreement Number 259-2, Sussex County Project Number 81-04, the Reserves for the Clubhouse, Ocean View Expansion, the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District. Wastewater Agreement Number 984-14, Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Coastal Club, Land Bay 2A, Gosley Creek Planning Area. Wastewater Agreement Number 1047, Sussex County Project Number 81-04, The Grove, Fenwick Island Sanitary Sewer District, and Wastewater Agreement Number 945-1, Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Plantation Park Marina of the Miller Creek Sanitary Sewer District. Any questions on those? If not, I'll approve. Ask for a motion for approval of consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mr. Arlett, to approve the consent agenda. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
I'm against. Motion carried. Mr. Lawson, you're up.
Thank you, sir. Passing down information regarding the next item for business, which is Board of Adjustment candidate for District 4. That's Councilman Cole's district. And I believe Mr. Cole has a candidate in mind that he would like to introduce today.
Yes, yeah, so you've just passed down a resume. I guess you can make them available to the press if they want them. Bruce Mears is a local custom builder from Millville, Delaware. And I feel that his vast experience working with state and county agencies, over his career will be a big asset for him. So I'd like to submit his name into consideration for the Board of Adjustment.
Very good. I will follow up with the standard interview questions to Mr. Mears, and then we will put on a future agenda the public interview for your formal consideration and vote.
And yeah, he'll be replacing Bud Ricker, who we just had his retirement thing. And
he would, we don't want to have any vacancies, right? When's the next meeting of the Board of Adjustment?
October.
Let's see. They met yesterday evening, so I believe the next meeting would be in either late September or early October, I believe.
So we should be able to put him on next week and be able to...
Potentially, if we can get the interview questions back in time, and then I get them to you in time. I have to have them back by this Friday by code for you to have it in the agenda. But of course, we set the agenda today, so...
I would just emphasize to Mr. Mears that, you know, we would like to have five members, you know, sitting there with the next hearing.
We'll take a look at the agenda and make sure that we can fast-track this.
Good. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you. Next item is the proposed resolution relating to Oliver's Point in Summertime Park. Ms. Hollis is going to put a map up for the council. This is a unique request, something of first impression for me as county administrator. We were contacted recently regarding a parcel of land known as Summertime Park. That is shown here on the screen in red. That, if you're familiar, is north of Fenwick Island. That is on the southbound lanes of Route 1. And we are being asked to consider the naming of that point that leads westerly towards the Assawoman Bay in honor of a gentleman, Mr. Oliver Cropper. Mr. Cropper spent his life supporting the Fenwick Island Lighthouse and the adjoining lighthouse keepers' houses. Mr. Cropper died in 2011. In recognition of his services, a portion of land in Summertime Park that extends into Assawoman Bay is being named Oliver's Point in his honor. In 2007, the State Senate passed a joint resolution honoring Mr. Cropper and improving the installation of suitable state marker identifying Oliver's Point. I put a copy of that joint resolution in the packet. Now, the U.S. Board of Geographic Names requires that a person be deceased at least 5 years before an area can be named in their honor. The board also requires the approval of the local jurisdiction, vis-a-vis the county council, before a geographic area can be renamed. I have a resolution that we've developed for your consideration, which would approve the designation of Oliver's Point in honor of Mr. Oliver W. Cropper, excuse me.
Please read your resolution.
Thank you, sorry. A resolution honoring Mr. Oliver W. Cropper of Fenwick Island for his many years of public service and approving the U.S. Board of Geographic Names to designate the point in Summertime Park as Oliver's Point.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption. Yep.
Oh, second.
Motion, Mr. Arlett, second, Mr. Cole, to approve as read. Any questions? We'll take the vote, Mr. Arlett.
Yes, and it's very appropriate in his community and fellow residents certainly are excited about doing this for him and his in honor. So absolutely yes.
Burton.
I agree with the proclamation.
Mr. Wilson.
I agree.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Yes, I'll just a little sidebar. I used to sit in a little place called Dirty Harry's quite often listening to Mr. Oliver Cropper telling me what I did wrong when I was over here sitting here with you guys. So I had a lot of conversations and learned a lot, and it was a great gentleman. So, yes.
That was hard. Yes. Wasn't hard for you to pick it, for him to pick that up.
No, but he used to tell me stuff.
I'll vote yes if I would care.
Thank you.
Keep
we you will,
straight.
We will process this resolution accordingly and notify the Board of Geographic Names.
Thank you.
Next item of business is the Delaware Department of Transportation 2019-2024 Capital Transportation Program Request. As in years past, I'll ask Mr. Chip Guy to make a presentation on this year's CTP request. Mr. Guy.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Good morning, Council.
Morning.
As you know, this is our annual request to DelDOT for projects and other transportation-related initiatives within the county for the next six-year period, capital transportation program request. The upcoming CTP would be for the 2024 period. We are set to have a hearing next, or a public workshop next Wednesday in conjunction with DelDOT. That will be held from 4 until 7 p.m. Wednesday, September 27th at the Del Dot Administration Building on 113 here in Georgetown. I want to go through a few items here on the requests so that you can see some of the things that have been changed this year, either some additions or some tractions. Okay. This is our priorities page. If you're familiar with this document, you know that we list those items that we feel are the most important critical needs in the county for the coming year. Our top improvements remain the SR1 improvements along the SR1 corridor at the beach area. We also have the Delaware Coastal Airport and the Park Avenue US 9 truck route just east of Georgetown here as among our critical improvements that are necessary, and east-west improvements, namely SR24 and routes 404 and 9. We have some others on there, including the north-south highway improvements, the bicycle and walking trails, and local roads, which I'll go into more detail here in just a moment. Just for your information, some of the improvements that we have called for in years past, I wanted to give you an update on that. With respect to the SR1 improvements, if we go to that page here, DelDOT advises that the SR1 Pedestrian Committee has agreed to assess the need for a possible barrier along the corridor, which is something that the council had asked in previous years to maybe consider something, a median divide to help to cut down on the number of pedestrian accidents along the corridor, particularly in the Lewis-Rehoboth Midway area. That is something that DelDOT has communicated to us, that the Pedestrian Committee has agreed to assess that in the future for possible need. Also, there has been a request that the Council has made in recent years with respect to speed limits on the corridor to help to try to slow down traffic, and DelDOT advises that they have now lowered the speed limit from the Nassau Bridge to 5 points to help slow down traffic as it comes up to and off the bridge and approaching 5 points and the rest of the corridor. No other real changes there. We continue to have on the slide here one thing that DelDOT did note, that the intersection at SR16 near Milton is now programmed in the CTP for FY21, so that is something that we have been asking for. They will be looking at that and actually now have programmed that into the CTP in the next few years to begin work on that project. Our airport remains a critical request for state funding and prioritization. This is something that the county has had for a number of years, and we continue to try to impress upon the state and our federal partners the urgency and the need to get this project moving forward. We are also looking at, if we look to the next slide, the Park Avenue US 9 truck route. This is something that DelDOT is moving forward on. There was a workshop, I believe, last year, August of 2016, where DelDOT conducted a public workshop and presented a number of options for a realignment project of Park Avenue, including shifting the road's current southern terminus at South Bedford Street to locations farther south at the intersection with Aero Safety Road and another possible possibility at the intersection with Zora Road. We again request that the Council on Transportation give thoughtful consideration to this project. While this would benefit us from the standpoint of the runway extension with Delaware Coastal Airport, we also recognize that this is a critical transportation link in the Georgetown area, serving for local commuter traffic as well as the potential to be a bypass of sorts for the Georgetown area. As the state looks to make improvements, particularly along the US 113 corridor in the coming years. So we're really pressing upon them that this is not just from the county's view as far as the airport project necessary to accommodate the runway extension. We also recognize that this is a safety and transportation issue with Truck Route 9 that we're asking them to make that a priority.
Did they ever recognize the cutoff survey? Not recognized. Did they ever survey the road that goes from, Park Avenue, back to West Road goes back to, it's a stoplight.
Arrow Safety Road.
Arrow Safety Road, that's what I was trying to think.
Yeah, that's one of the possibilities, looking at the, at linking it with Arrow Safety Road.
They never did get done yet, hadn't never done that.
It's not been done, but that's something that they are looking at as one potential option.
They haven't spent a dime on it.
I don't know.
So they haven't got, I talked to them about it, haven't done nothing. So we're not going anywhere if not going to do it, then I'm going to check it.
Well, as I said, again, DLDOT has presented some options. I can't speak to where it is exactly as far as the planning. I don't believe it has moved beyond design at this point or some preliminary planning. We're certainly, as you know, we're not into a phase of construction. We're still, you know, some time off from that.
Be nice to get started.
I think that's
Are you aware we got $100 million from the other states that we can spend on our highways?
All right, let him continue.
$100 million.
Continue.
Go ahead. George, I'm supposed to keep quiet. So go ahead, Jeff.
Okay. East-west improvements are also among our priorities this year. There were numerous public comments. We had asked for the public to give us some suggestions back in the summer for items to be included in this year's report. Numerous comments came in that centered on DLDOT, the county and the state focusing efforts on the SR-24 corridor, and that's reflected in our annual report and has been for a number of years. There's one item to make note of. I'm happy to report some progress on some projects in the last year or so since we did this before. The SR-26 project, which is in Mr. Cole's district largely, and I believe part of Mr. Arlett's district, that project is now complete, so that has come off of our transportation priority list this year. There are also SR-1 and SR-16 intersection improvements that are now programmed in the CTP for construction, as I noted in FY21. The Millsboro North Bypass, which I'm going to jump forward to, that's part of the east-west corridor system, but also ties in with the north-south highway improvements. Millsboro Bypass is now programmed in the CTP for some preliminary design and engineering work, as I understand it, and will be moving forward. So that's also reflected in this year's report. And the Lewis to Georgetown Trail, which would be under our walking trails and bicycle trails, that has now completed the first phase, with the second phase set to begin in spring 2018 and subsequent phases afterward. So I just wanted to give you a quick update on where those projects stood. Those are some of the things that have been in our request in years past, and they are moving along. I'm going to skip forward to local roads. We've had a number of additions and deletions here. This is in large part driven by constituent concerns and requests that are funneled through you throughout the year, as well as those requests that we receive from directly from the constituency when we ask for improvements or suggestions. Some progress in the past year and updates for some of our standing requests. Designs are now underway for the pedestrian and bicycle improvements along Double Bridges Road near Bethany Beach. That's been something that a number of people have asked for, particularly from a safety standpoint over the last several years. And there are also some design work underway now for pedestrian and bicycle improvements along Rehoboth Avenue Extended, just outside of Rehoboth Beach. Cave Neck Road near Milton Lewis, that remains on our county's list for short-term improvements, and I think one of the items we've asked for there is a turn lane to allow for a queuing of traffic, though DLDOT reports that this is now programmed in the CTP for substantial grade-separated improvement. That would be an overpass at some later date. We've also had a past request for a signal at Robinsonville and Plantation Roads outside of Lewis. That is now removed because DLDOT reports that this was studied and not justified. So some of the new additions we have this year on local roads, and you can read these in more detail in your packets. It is on the website, and it is in your packets today. The new intersection improvements along Cave Neck Road at Hudson and Sweetbriar Roads, and I believe this was a legislative request. There are some concerns about the flow of traffic at those intersection points along Hudson Road, particularly at those two locations, and so we are asking DLDOT to give consideration to some type of improvement at those intersections to ensure a better flow and a safer flow of traffic. We have continued our call for studied improvements along the US 9 corridor, and that's referenced here in the local roads as well as in I believe it's the east-west corridor improvements, with particular emphasis on the Sand Hill Road and Airport Road intersection on the east side here of Georgetown. DLDOT reports that this is in its initial stages at this moment. Couple of others, sidewalk improvements along SR1 in the town of Fenwick. This was a town of Fenwick request. They would like to see better connectivity with their sidewalks along that corridor. They're in the town limits. Lewis area, Clay Road, we've added that for a turn lane request. This was a constituency request to help with traffic flow onto Kings Highway. And Henlopen Acres, we've added Ocean Drive. There had been a constituent request for some wider bike paths, shoulders, and the town also had emphasized a need for crosswalks. And that's about it. Some of our other, standing requests here with respect to intersections, signage, and signalization, we continue to ask DLDOT to look for improvements where necessary, where it's possible. Left turn blinkers at some key intersections to cut down on choke points. Transportation alternatives. We continue to ask DLDOT to consider better coordination of its site selection for DART stops and signage for that. I know that's been, particularly for Mr. Cole, a request for a number of years, and we continue to ask that they give consideration for that. That's about it. Again, this will go before the public during DLDOT's workshop on Wednesday, September 27th from 4 until 7 at the DLDOT Administration Building here in Georgetown. And we'll post it online. And if you have any questions, I'm happy to entertain them.
Question of council?
Yes, Mr. President, if I may. Chip, do we keep a running list? I mean, I assume that we've been doing this as a county for years. I don't know how many years, but this presentation, right? And we, quote unquote, have a wish list and a desire based on our needs in the county that we communicate over to the state. But do we actually keep a running record of our requests versus what they've actually done? An ongoing, like 10 years back, 5 years ago, 12, 20 years ago, do we keep an archive, an ongoing list?
To my knowledge, no, I have not kept such a list. I do have the presentations from the last several years, and I always coordinate with DLDOT to get a recheck on where projects are or how they've progressed, and if something has been completed, then I remove it from the local road section in particular. But I don't have a spreadsheet, per se, that evaluates projects that have been requested and then where what their standing is and whether they're complete or.
I would love to see that. I think because at some point the rest of us are not going to be here. We all will not be here one day. And just from a historical presence and a historical piece, I think it would be really important to we keep an ongoing track to really not only to let our residents know how we feel as a council, but also DLDOT. We need to keep an eye on what they're doing, what they're not doing. And I think earlier we had an individual say that said that Sussex County deserves better. And I think everybody here would agree with that. And so, but if we're not keeping track of what's being asked versus what's actually being completed, how do we know if we're getting better or not? That would be my question, is how do I know? Each year we see this, we all agree with this, but there's no historical comparison.
Well, I think, moving forward, we certainly in the last several months, in the last year, have endeavored to improve the relationship between the county and DLDOT.
Right.
And I think that that's certainly a valid point, and that's something that we can look at with DLDOT in trying to get a better coordination of, where our project requests are and what their standing is, moving forward especially.
And even just have as simple as, 1 through 5 number to signify where it is in a particular process. Planning, implementation, funding needs, whatever, just so we have a better transparency and a better level of communication to our residents in the county.
And
so,
it's important to note, many of the local roads projects that we request here don't necessarily fall within the CTP scope. The CTP is generally for your larger capital improvement projects. Right. Some of these things are operational requests,
Sure.
especially when it comes to signalization and signage.
Sure. I'm talking bigger picture stuff.
I know. Yep. But I just wanted to let you know that some of those smaller items, while they're important to, the constituency maybe in that immediate area, coming out of a development or into a commercial property, they may not necessarily be on the radar for the CTP, but we can certainly talk with DLDOT about getting, some sort of of tracking in place that gives us a better idea and a better understanding of where projects are.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Anything else from council?
Mr. Chairman, I got a question.
Mr. Burton.
Chip, on your slide, east-west corridors, there's one sentence in there that says there's approximately $7 million in budget for FY18 alone. So is that a budget that's an amount of money that's set up for the CTP for Sussex County? Or is a budget given and then projects weighed against the budget?
Is it this page here?
Yep. It's the second sentence.
You must have it.
Okay. Yeah. So for that there, that was the breakdown of dollars that are within the CTP, the six-year period, for the FY18 to 23 period that are devoted to Sussex projects, just for east-west roads at 272. And then that's an assortment of projects that are just limited to east-west improvements within that six-year period. There's approximately, as I note here, $7 million in the budget for FY18, the first year of that six-year period. I can't tell you what specifically, without having it here in front of me, I don't have the CTP here in front of me, what that $7 million is for, but it could be for design, engineering, right-of-way acquisition, or construction.
Is that a number that DLDOT gives
DLDOT
us?
Yes, DLDOT provides that to us.
Do they give us a total number? They say, okay, you got a wish list for your CTP, and our dollars coming to Sussex County are X. You fit your wish list into the X. Does it work that way?
If I'm understanding you correctly, I mean, I don't get any.
Do they give us a dollar amount,
a price tag on what we're asking for? No, we don't receive, you know, a comparison, if you will, that we're asking for this, and they say, okay, well, what you've asked for here would equal $500 million. We've not historically had that kind of information. I know we do receive the CTP. Mr. Lawson and I do see the CTP spreadsheet from DLDOT, but there's never been any sort of analysis or report back to us to say, well, what you're requesting here would equal X number of dollars.
Okay, and because, you know, I mean, if I guess I'm looking at it a different way. Does DLDOT say we're going to send Sussex County $300 million? So then you fit your CTP to spend the $300 million.
That's not typically the way it's worked. It's been really a collection of our priorities that we present to them, and then, you know, you see where it shakes out in the wash. Obviously, some things get funded, and other things, you know, have to be prioritized and don't get the funding either immediately or maybe they're backed up a number of years because of other higher priority projects.
Where did that $7 million come from?
DLDOT.
So they gave us that number and
they
said
that. All right.
Okay.
Requested that.
Okay.
Question, Council.
Well, just quickly, the pedestrian safety, it seems, is always on their list or our list, and I'm still concerned about these pedestrian walkways and encouraging pedestrians to you know, enter into the roadway in areas where the speed limits are exceeding 25 miles per hour. I think it's extremely dangerous, and that could be possible reason for a lot of pedestrian accidents because we shouldn't be encouraging people to do that. And the dark bus stops are often placed in very odd locations. They're not really identified very well sometimes. They just have a little sign. Many times there's no place for people to sit, to wait for the bus. They're sitting right shoulders or standing in the shoulders. Seems very safe, so it seems they need to do a better job there also. That's all.
Anything else from council? Thank you, Mr. Guy.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Fine job.
Yet again.
Mr. Lawson,
all right. Report. Final item, administrator's report for September 19, 2017. Item number one, the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission will host the next workshop on the comp land use plan on Wednesday, September 20, 2017. Discussion will take place regarding various elements of the comp plan, and an update on the conservation element will be provided. The workshop begins at 9 a.m. right here in the council chambers located on the circle in Georgetown. The agenda is attached. Public comment will take place at the end of the meeting. Item number two, per the attached engineering department fact sheet, Ocean View Beach Club Phase 2B Sewer and the Estuary Phase 1C-2B construction record received substantial completion effective September 6th and September 12th, respectively. Item number three, please be advised the county is taking steps to enhance the security of its buildings and to better protect our staff and customers who occupy and visit our facilities on a daily basis. As such, new security features and procedures are scheduled to begin in both the Sussex County Administrative Offices building and the West Complex. These enhancements include a new screening process in the County Administrative Offices building lobby, which will require all visitors entering the lobby to be screened by a magnetometer operated by trained security officers. Additional security features will be installed throughout the buildings as well. The improvements are scheduled to take place in the next few weeks with full implementation beginning in October. We appreciate the staff's and the public's understanding and cooperation with these new procedures. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Jennings, discussion of possible introduction of proposed ordinance entitled an ordinance to amend